By the time Beethoven arrived on the musical scene in Vienna, the string quartet had established itself as a challenge to every serious composer. There were enough imposing precedents from Haydn and Mozart alone. It was a challenge that Beethoven took up at three decisive stages in his career, so that the words early, middle, and late are particularly appropriate where the quartets are concerned. The opus numbers betray this. 6 quartets, opus 18, 3 opus 59, plus those two isolated works, opus 74 and 95, and finally the late series from opus 127 to 135. A quartet way of thought was, however, so much in the air that it affected other music too, the string section of the orchestra, for example, and even works for solo piano. Beethoven's piano sonata, opus 2, number 3, begins unmistakably in a quartet texture. And so does the E major sonata, opus 14, number 1. Beethoven actually transcribed this work for quartet, although the finale with its left-hand arpeggios did demand some rethinking. Here's this theme in the quartet version, which Beethoven transposed up a semitone from E to F in order to raise the lower dominant, B, to the cello's lowest note, C. Significant that Beethoven should have made this quartet version of a piano sonata. Arrangements the other way round were far more common. Piano versions of quartets or symphonies had a practical value. They made works more accessible for study, like Beethoven's own four-hand arrangement of the much later Grosse Fuge. But meanwhile, let's consider his first set of quartets, opus 18, which he completed when he was 30. The year was 1800, which also saw the performance of his first symphony. The numbering of the opus 18 set was not strictly in order of composition, but as opus 18 number 1 is the first in the book, we may as well look at it first. In the sketches, Beethoven became absorbed with an idea, presumably a unison idea, in common time, 4 in a bar. Beethoven's rewritings varied the rhythmic pattern, but kept to the 4-4 time. On the page after that last example, however, the time changed to 3 in a bar. This 3-4 time was preserved in the quartet itself. The first record in this series, ABM 1, I quoted from the development section of this movement to show what that eventual opening phrase could yield. But for the moment, let's just continue where we left off. The gist of that cello and violin duet. This had in fact already been noted in the 4-4 sketches. The story that the slow movement of this quartet, Opus 18, number 1, was inspired by the tomb scene in Romeo and Juliet is borne out by a sketch for its ending with superimposed words in French, les derniers soupirs, the last sighs. Final cadence, the last sigh of all, was eloquently expanded in the quartet. Now let us look at the opening of the next quartet, Opus 18, number 2, which we heard at the beginning of this record. Two sketches with the first bar intact. One continuing this way. The other with a half close and a more characterful rhythm. To become more sharply dotted in the finished work. The adagio of Opus 18, number 2, like the first movement of the previous quartet, was sketched in 4-4 before becoming 3-4. Notice that its final form preserved this melodic outline, but with far more variety of movement. In a sketch for the finale, the opening cello theme has a fugal look about it. But this became more wittily conversational. Before leaving the Opus 18 quartets, just a glance at the variation theme of number 5, a sketch for a curved shape. But this was discarded in favor of a more simple walk up and down the scale. The sketches I've been discussing so far come from two books dating from 1798 and 99. They were investigated by Gustav Notterbohm and formerly belonged to F.A. Grasnick in Berlin. But there's further light on this variation movement of Opus 18, number 5, in the Kafka miscellany in the British Museum, including some variation ideas. There's one sketch for a minor key variation set out not on a single stave, but in score, although with only first violin and cello parts sketched in. As there isn't a minor key variation in the actual quartet, it's worth hearing this fragment even in its skeleton form. Thank you. There, presumably, the filling in was abandoned as the variation itself was abandoned. However, within the many permutations of a quartet of players, there may be times when a cello and a violin do discuss matters between themselves. So let's jump forward to the second movement of Beethoven's quartet, Opus 59, number 1, which opens in just this way. Cello and second violin, followed by viola and first violin. The repeated note motive went through various forms in the sketches. Let's hear now the ultimate form as it comes fortissimo on the whole quartet with its splendidly athletic leaps at the end. In contrast to this apparent simplifying process, the next theme worked the other way. The following sketch seems rhythmically dull. And especially when we compare it with its livelier outcome. These three middle period quartets, Opus 59, are usually called Razumovsky after the Russian count who commissioned them, and each was supposed to incorporate a Russian theme. As it is, only two of them fulfilled this overtly. Beethoven noted two tunes from a folk song collection, one beginning as follows. And the other one, which incidentally also occurs in Mussorgsky's Boris, was this. Beethoven made no attempt to preserve the andante marking of the folk song collector, and he forced both themes to toe the line in contrapuntal treatment, the former in the finale of Opus 59, number 1. The other Russian theme was used in the trio of the Allegretto in Opus 59, number 2, and at its climax, there's rough humor in its rough counterpoint. Sketches for this E minor Razumovsky, quoted briefly by Notterbohm, throw interesting light on all four movements. At the opening, we find an idea treated in sequence, which Beethoven was to expand. Apart from the stretching of the motive itself, there came two introductory chords that were themselves material for development. The opening chords, in fact, proved to be the basis of the theme itself. And then the slow movement, one of the most beautiful of Beethoven's chorale-like themes, which was to depend on its harmonization. Here, the harmony is only hinted at. Thank you. And here's an alternative sketch for the second four bars. Beethoven asked for this movement to be played with great feeling, and the composer's own feeling was expressed in the subtlety and intensity of the harmonization. And here's a sketch for a minuet in E major, probably intended for the third movement. Possibly to offset its Russian theme trio section, this last idea was replaced by a minor key allegretto in 3/4 time, but otherwise far removed from a minuet in mood or rhythm. Whether by design or instinct, it's curious that all Beethoven's extended works in E, minor or major, have every movement in the tonic key, major or minor. So, in Opus 59, number 2, we find so far E minor for the first movement, E major for the second, E minor for the third, with its Russian trio in E major. And the finale, to preserve classical unity, also demanded the home key. In our first record, I described the way Beethoven avoided possible monotony by devising a rondo theme that leant heavily on another key, C major, so that the movement develops into a kind of gravitational struggle between C and E minor. Sketches show that this key conflict occurred to Beethoven well in advance of the character of the theme. A further sketch. And then a more decisive thematic figure. Which then acquired that slender upbeat idea in itself a common enough cliché, but sufficient in Beethoven's hands to provide a lengthy, witty, and dramatic preparation for the return of the whole theme. Let's hear one of these returns in mid-movement. The eventual triumph of E minor over C major is left for the final presto, and yet in those early sketches, the denouement must already have been envisaged. Razumovsky Quartet is, however, definitely in C major. One sketch suggests a direct opening and is, in fact, marked third quartet. Once again, a process of expansion, incorporating much soloistic work from the first violin. Thank you. The oblique approach to this, through an introduction enshrouded in harmonic mystery, was an inspiration comparable to the opening of Mozart's so-called dissonance quartet. Here's Beethoven's opening of Opus 59, number 3. Among the sketches for this third Razumovsky, we find an idea in bare repeated notes. Half a dozen years later, this became the allegretto of the Seventh Symphony. But its key of A minor persisted in the quartet in a very different form. The minuet of Opus 59, number 3, was sketched in this way, in the subdominant key of F. The opening bar then takes another form. The sketch is in pencil, probably noted down on one of Beethoven's customary walks, and the added words finale C minor were certainly not followed up. He later continued in ink, but in the same key. Then he changed to C major, the home key of the quartet. This we must hear on the quartet in its finished version. Now, note that the two lower strings play in contrary motion to the two violins. I'd like to make an experiment here and ask the viola to play his part with a slight change of emphasis. And there, surely, we find one of those hidden unities that abound without advertising themselves, the origin of the fugue subject that starts off the finale and into which the minuet leads. Thank you.